Well, thank you all for coming tonight. I'm going to have you open your Bibles here in a minute. Now, I have a question, though, before we start. How many of you use these for a Bible? Okay, well, tonight, I'm just going to ask you to please, if you would, just throw those things away. I'm going to get you a Bible and open up to Luke chapter 24. Anybody who needs a Bible? And the reason I say this, you know, it's kind of an extreme thing, but, you know, I'm an observer of people, and one of the things I noticed that is sometimes in, you know, people use their phones for their Bible, and the truth is, this thing is a huge distraction, because I've also seen people that are using their Bible, they start off their Bible, and the next thing I know, I can see, there's a text message. Oh, I might go check my email while I'm here. And it's a big distraction. I love technology. Technology is great, as long as it's used as a tool. But I think sometimes, you know, it gets us distracted from what is at hand. But turn to Luke, the 24th chapter, please. I want to start there. Now, I know that what we're going to be doing over the next few months, I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to be, but we're going to be doing the Psalms, studying the Psalms. But since I get to go first, I'm going to kind of, there's not been a precedent set, I'm going to kind of work my way around that. But this story here in Luke, the 24th chapter, starting the 13th verse, I want to kind of use that to start out our study of Psalms. Because I think it has a significant example for us in our daily study, our daily Bible reading. So we're going to read this, starting in verse 13. It says, "Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened." That's the crucifixion, the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. "And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are you discussing with each other while you are walking along?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?' He asked them, 'What things?' And they replied, 'The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of these folks who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was walking or talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, 'The Lord has risen, and indeed he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread." The thing that impresses me with this story is several things, but the most important thing in my mind, for me, is the fact that once Jesus opened the scriptures to them and made himself known, they remembered while he was preaching the scriptures that their hearts were burning within them. And I have to ask myself, does my heart burn within me? Does my heart burn within me to know God? Does my heart burn to know the fulfillment of this? See, God wants us to see the connection between the Scriptures and our daily walk. It's not something we discuss here on Sundays alone. It's not something that when we meet in small groups or on Wednesdays or whenever we feel inclined to look at the Scriptures. He wants us to be in the Scriptures daily. And as I look at this story, this Cleopas and his friend, you know, they were caught up in the adversity of the prior week. I mean, what happened was crazy by any standard. The fact that Jesus was arrested for what? He was tried for what? He was convicted for what? And he was put to death. That's crazy. And they were having trouble dealing with all that was going on because what they thought the intent was of the Messiah, it couldn't happen now. And then furthermore, he was gone. He wasn't even at the tomb. Now, when they met Jesus on the road, they didn't recognize him. And I think this is important for us today in our world because we don't see Jesus standing right here next to us. You know, we say they had an advantage because they knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. Some of them did. Some of them talked with him. But here we have two men that were apparently aware of what was going on. They were a part of this, but they didn't recognize Jesus. We don't have Jesus in body here today. We don't have him in the flesh. So what do we have that they had? We have the Scriptures. We have the Word of God. And it is such a significant thing, I think, that we often take for granted and we overlook. Does my heart burn within me? And if not, why not? If our hearts don't burn, why not? And I guess I have to ask the question, do I engage in the Scriptures enough? Do I want to know who this Jesus was? Do I want to know what God's plan is for my life? See, we're not just idle spectators. Cleopas and his friends thought they had just witnessed something. They didn't know what it was, what had happened. They knew what they thought was going to happen, but they weren't quite sure what it was. But as they're walking that day and talking about it, are they truly engaged in what happened? Well, I don't think they were at first, but Jesus engaged them. Jesus made them part of the story. Jesus made them aware that God's plan was included them. And so I have to ask myself, am I in the Scriptures enough? Do I recognize the Holy Spirit that God has put within me, has given me? Let's turn to Psalms, the 10th chapter. You know, I said I like technology, and I do like technology. I have a Kindle, which was given to me as a gift. There's something interesting about electronics too that maybe you guys all know and I don't know, but you know, when you have a Kindle and you turn it on, it always gives books it recommends for you. Well, for some reason, the books that come up on my recommendation list are always, there's some kind of romance and stuff like that. And it's like, I thought these things were supposed to be smart. They were supposed to see what I read and make recommendations. But come to find out, my wife bought it for me, and so when it was registered to her, so they figured, Lynn, it gives me romance stuff. And I can't figure out if that was an accident or if she did that on purpose. It's one of those things in marriage that remains a mystery. However, I guess what I was going to say before I got sidetracked myself is that on my Kindle, which is, you know, they're really small, I don't know how many books I have. I have 75, 80 books. I have a lot of books on it, you know, and it takes up that much room on my bookshelf. But, you know, there's something still, even today, that's weighty about a book that has pages and it has words there. Because, you know, and the distraction thing is true. You know, you know, when our first inclination, when we're hit with something between the eyes with something, when our first inclination is to go to Instagram or something, there's something wrong with that. Because I should have to struggle and deal and think and consider how this is in my life. So let's read Psalms chapter 10. It says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked persecute the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of their heart. Those greedy for gain curse and renounce the Lord. In the pride of their countenance, the wicked say, 'God will not seek it out.' All their thoughts are, 'There is no God.' Their ways prosper all the times. Your judgments are on high and out of their sight. As for their foes, they scoff at them. They think in their heart, 'We shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, we shall not meet adversity.' Their mouths are filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under their tongues are mischief and iniquity. They sit in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, they murder the innocent. Their eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. They lurk in secret like a lion in its covert. They lurk that they may seize the poor. They seize the poor and drag them off in their net. They stoop, they crouch, and the helpless fall by their might. They think in their heart, 'God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it.' Rise up, O Lord, O God. Lift up your hand. Do not forget the oppressed. Why do the wicked renounce God and say in their hearts, 'You will not call us to account?' But you do see. Indeed, you note trouble and grief, that you may take it into your hands. The helpless commit themselves to you. You have been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoers. Seek out their wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations shall perish from his hand, from his land. O Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that those from earth may strike terror no more." So this psalm opens up with a question that comes to all of us sooner or later. Why does the Lord remain silent in the presence of evil? Why does God not act swiftly? Why does God not strike them at the moment they decide to do evil? Why does it go unchallenged sometimes? And why does God allow the wicked to persecute his people? We all ask these questions at times, because it seems like evil just goes. It seems like sometimes those that are so inclined to be aggressive and to take things from that they choose, they just do it, and nothing happens. And David here, as he writes this psalm, has witnessed some of this. He has seen the wicked prosper. And he has chosen, though, to still walk with God. As we see this psalm progress, what does he do? He points out the times the people that are persecuted or taken advantage of. But towards the end is when he sees that God will answer. God will respond. God will take action upon those that choose to be and work evil. And so it kind of brings to mind that when adversity strikes, when we see adversity come upon us, when it happens in our own life, how do we react? How do we respond? What do we expect God to do? How do we expect God to perform? And I think that, one of the lessons that I have learned is that being a Christian, living a Christian life, does not deliver me from adversity, but I am delivered through adversity. See, because life cannot be adversity-free. I challenge anyone to tell me someone that has lived without challenge, someone that has lived without problems in their life, someone that has lived without suffering the repercussions of their own bad choices. That is our life. That is our lot. And I think one of the things, though, that David points out here, and I think is important to us, is how do I choose to be? Do I choose to be one of those that takes advantage of others? Do I choose to be one of those that looks for the weak and preys on them? Do I seek out opportunities for myself to gain financially at the expense of others? See, we have choices in our life to make. We choose each day how we're going to walk and who we're going to walk with. And I think another reason why I don't appreciate as much as I should some of the electronic gizmos that are on is because in Romans, Paul talks a lot about the flesh and about the spirit. And he implements in there the mind. The mind is kind of the rudder for our what we seek. If I seek spiritual things, it's because I put my mind upon seeking those things. If I seek physical things, it's because my mind has decided that's what it wants. And so it becomes the rudder. And so what I tend to try to do is to use my mind to focus on things that are spiritual. And I think the only way I can do that is I have to look each day and focus on my walk with God. If I don't focus on that, if I don't focus on the fact that God is with me through my challenges, if I don't focus on the fact that God is with me in my relationships, if I don't focus on the fact that God is with me in my business, then I become selfish. Then I get distracted from those things, and I concentrate on what I want. Joe's sermon this morning was great. It was great because that's the crux right there. Am I going to be a spiritual man or am I going to be a physical man? So what is my walk? What part do I play in this story that God is working? Am I one of these people that David talks about in the first 11 verses of this chapter? Am I one of the ones that lies in wait? Am I one of the ones that tries to be selfish in the things I look for? Or do I choose to have God work in my life and through my life? I think it's a question that each one of us need to ask ourselves, and a question each one of us needs to decide every day, because it's a challenge. It is a challenge. I don't know what your distraction is. I don't know what your sin is. I know we like to not use that word sin. I think sometimes we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all say yes, amen to that. I'm a sinner. But when I start talking about what my sin is, then it becomes real. Then it becomes a challenge. Because sin is real. Sin does dog us all. So in closing, I would just like to say that for me, I think I've expressed this before. For me, I've always thought that I could through thinking, I could come to a conclusion that God exists, God is real, God is in charge. But the deeper I get into it, the more I find out that I can't. I mean, there's nothing in science to disprove it, but yet it still takes faith. And God says it takes faith. And why does it take faith? Because for me to believe that I'm part of God's story, for me to believe that I'm part of God's plan, for me to believe that the actions I take today and the actions I will have to take tomorrow, that the decisions I will have to make, the man I will have to be, I need God to help me with that. I need God to show me and guide me. But how do I do that? Does it just happen? Can it come through prayer? It can only come through my heart burning to know what God wants me to do and how He wants me to be. And the Scriptures are alive and well. What does Paul say? It's sharpened a double-edged sword, able to cut to the marrow and the bone. If we're not in the Word, folks, our hearts won't burn. And if our hearts aren't burning, I think we may be lost. We can be good people. We can make moral choices. But I don't think it's just about making good choices and being moral people. Because I believe I've done that. But I am an arrogant person. And that's my flaw. That's my sin. And that's what I need God to fix. Because I can't fix it on my own. I can't fix it. But God can show me how. God can cleanse me from that. And my heart can burn within me. Anyways, if we can pray for you, if we can do anything for you, if we can help you, if you need encouragement, if you have something special to say that can encourage me, you can come forward while we sing this song.